Good afternoon. Okay. I'd like to first acknowledge my collaborators on this project and co-authors, many of whom are not able to make it today, but one is in the audience, Eve Rose. So thank you for their support, along with all of the folks who helped out with the project in general. I also have nothing to disclose, except for nerves. I like that. I might use that later. Okay. So for some time now, national surveillance data have indicated that African-American adolescent women are disproportionately affected by HIV, AIDS, and STIs. However, recent findings suggest that conventional risk factors, such as the number of sexual partners, condom use, alcohol and drug use, these things fail to fully account for the observed racial disparities in HIV and STI rates among adolescent females. These findings also instead suggest that sexual networks may better explain the STI-HIV disparities seen among young women. Such sexual networks that include sexual relationships that overlap in time, or in other words, concurrent sexual partnerships, allow faster STI transmission than sequential sexual partnerships. And evidence suggests that sexual concurrency within the African American community could account for the observed HIV-STI disparities, and that even small changes in the level of sexual partnership concurrency may have great impact on HIV and other STI transmission in this community. So thus, the objective of this study was to explore behaviors and characteristics associated with engaging in sexual concurrency among African American female adolescents. This study was part of a larger HIV STD risk reduction program that recruited 715 African American adolescent females who were seeking services at an STD clinic, a family planning clinic, and a teen clinic in Atlanta, Georgia. To be eligible for the parent study, participants had to be African American, female, between the ages of 15 and 21 years, not pregnant at the time of recruitment, not married at the time of recruitment. They had to report having sex in the past 60 days, so they were all sexually active, and they provided informed consent. For the purposes of this study, we only used baseline data from the parent project. The baseline data were collected via an ACASI audio computer assisted self-interview survey, and the baseline assessment was completed prior to randomization into either the HIV intervention or control groups. The ACASI interview took about 60 minutes for participants to complete and included questions that assessed sociodemographic information, psychosocial characteristics such as depression and self-esteem, partner sexual communication skills, along with sexual behaviors. The primary variable of interest in this study was sexual concurrency. Concurrency was defined as having a main sex partner or a boyfriend and that they were sexually active with and a casual sexual partner simultaneously. After determining the prevalence of concurrency, we explored the differences between those who reported being currently concurrent and those who were not concurrent in regards to other sexual behaviors, their alcohol and drug use, relationship characteristics, as well as their history of emotional, physical, or sexual abuse. Now, just to note, all of the abuse variables were collapsed into either yes or no experiencing of abuse due to the high intercorrelation between these variables. We also included five scales that have been identified in the empirical literature as related to sexual concurrency and other samples in our analysis predicting sexual concurrency. Specifically, we included a refusal self-efficacy scale, which assesses the participant's ability to refuse sex with a current sex partner. The future of relationship scale assessed their investment in their relationship with their current boyfriend. We also included a scale assessing peer norms that were supporting high-risk behaviors, high-risk sexual behaviors specifically. The final two scales that we included were sexual sensation seeking, as well as a risk avoidance scale, which assessed the practice of avoiding sex as a means of protection from contracting STIs or spreading STIs to partners. So in addition to exploring the differences between concurrent and non-concurrent participants, our primary analysis aimed to determine the factors associated with sexual concurrency. So first, the variables of interest that I've just described were correlated with concurrency, and those variables that were significantly related to sexual concurrency were then included in a logistic regression analysis predicting sexual concurrency. In addition to behavior and relationship variables, the five scales were also included in this logistic model predicting concurrency. So as I indicated before, we had 715 young women who were enrolled in the larger parent study. Of those, 598 reported having a current boyfriend, but 28 of these young women reported that they had not yet had sex with their current boyfriend, so they were removed from the analyses. Thus, a total of 570 African-American adolescent females were included in this study. Of the 570 young women with a current boyfriend who they were having sex with, 25%, or 144, reported having a concurrent sexual relationship, meaning that they also indicated that they were having sex with a casual sex partner. In regards to differences by concurrency status, all of these variables, we saw significant differences between those who were concurrent and those between concurrent and non-concurrent individuals, except for with respect to age and the history of anal sex. So we were seeing that concurrent girls were more likely to use substances. They were more likely to have sex while under the influence of substances. They had more lifetime number of sex partners. They also had an earlier onset of sex. They reported more likely to report a history of abuse, and they were also more likely to report that their boyfriend, their current boyfriend, was having another or was suspected to have another sex partner during the course of their relationship. Okay, so you can see the numbers here with the percentages to the side. So based on the bivariate analyses, all of these variables, except for age and history of anal sex, were then included in our logistic model along with the five scales of interest. Partner concurrency, we found, was significantly associated with sexual concurrency in these adolescent young women. So that means having a partner you believed was also having sex with another individual was predictive of self-concurrency. As was less commitment to the future of that relationship with the boyfriend, along with limited use of risk avoidance strategies. A trend towards significance was also found for refusal self-efficacy and length of time in the relationship with the boyfriend, such that risk of concurrency was more likely for those young women with lower refusal self-efficacy skills and who also indicated that they had been in their relationship with their current boyfriend for a shorter duration of time. In conclusion, adolescent women in this sample were more likely to engage in concurrent sex if they perceived that their current relationship had a limited future. Thus, these young women who indicated an unwillingness to exert more effort into the current relationship and who had limited investment in its future success were more likely to have concurrent sexual partners. The association of partner concurrency to self-concurrent sexual activity by the teens in this study may be integrally related to their perception of their partner's status, perception of their relationship status or future success. Specifically, the suspicion that their partner or their boyfriend was having sex outside of their relationship may have then influenced their attitudes towards the level of commitment that they felt towards their relationship, which may have then influenced their decision to have a casual sex partner as well. In addition to these relationship factors, which we need more investigation in order to understand the concurrent or the causal relationship amongst these variables, as this was just a cross-sectional look at this data, and really this could be fleshed out more with the qualitative type of analysis. But in addition to these relationship factors, the use of risk avoidance strategies was associated with less risk of sexual concurrency as well. These findings together suggest that relationship factors, sexual avoidance strategies, and possibly the confidence to refuse unwanted sexual advances are all important factors contributing to the prevalence of sexual concurrency among African American young women. And we hope that by better understanding the factors associated with sexual concurrency, intervention strategies can be developed and then incorporated into existing prevention messages and prevention programs with the ultimate goal of improving the sexual health of young African American females. Thank you all for your time and acknowledge our grant support.